our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon us, our thinking, our feeling, and our hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some gospel lessons I suspect that preachers don't like to preach on, and certainly this one is a narrative of one of the grimmest situations you can possibly imagine. Poor John. So you think you try to avoid it. And so when the day came when I was asked to preach on this day, I thought, what in all the world can I say about such a horrible situation? And yet, at the same time, in the course of this rather tragic narrative, some very wonderful things come to the fore. And I hope we can find those as we make our journey in this gospel. Some of you may know, but for those of you who don't know, I was a teacher for probably almost 23 years in a private academy. I was dean of that chapel, and I had a counseling office, and I taught coursework in applied theology. Because of my counseling position, the kids would come in and talk to me about a variety of different things. One morning, a young man came into my office, and he was obviously very distraught. And so he sat down and he said, I have a really peculiar dilemma on my hands. He said, my dad and I had a disagreement last night about something that I did that took place in my life. And I didn't think it was such a big deal. But my dad said, if you just tell me the truth, everything will work out just fine. Just be truthful. So I took him at his word, and I told the truth, and he grounded me for a month. He said, I didn't expect the truth to work out quite like that. And I said to the kid, well, at least you didn't lose your head. But he wasn't very pleased with that response. It didn't seem to make any difference. Sometimes the truth can be very painful. I remember one time in seminary, a friend and I were having coffee together, and we were talking about truth and honesty. And we were debating how to be truthful and discreet at the same time, whether it was actually possible to do the both. So we put up this pretense. An elderly woman came up to us and said to him, I said, do you like my new dress, Pastor? Well, obviously, it was probably the ugliest dress that anybody had ever seen. And now the pastor was obligated to some kind of a comment based on a straightforward question. So I said, what would you do? He said, well, I would just tell her it's the ugliest dress I've ever seen in my life. And I said, and how will that fit into your pastoral care and your social well-being? He said, well, what would you do? And I said, well, I think I would skirt the truth in as much as I might say, well, that's a very interesting print on that dress. Or you might say, well, you know, the color looks really good on you. Nice choice of color. So you're not exactly not telling the truth, but you're not exactly telling the truth. Truth is hard to come by, isn't it? It's especially hard to come by in our particular age. We are facing a cacophony of presidential candidates in the next several months. A cacophony, if you will. I heard on NPR that actually 176 people have filed to run for the President of the United States. I did not know that was possible, but apparently it is. Thanks be to God, there's a process where some of them will be eliminated. There, in this listing of people that NPR went through, they're of a variety of different characters. They just have to file the appropriate paperwork. And everyone has their own truth that they want to tell. Everyone has their own truth that is crucial for this country and the transformation of this country, that this country would turn around. Everything that you could ever imagine, someone's running on a plank as President of the United States. It is wearisome to come by the truth when you're overwhelmed by what people perceive truths to be. And then there's poor John. John was a respected prophet in the area where he was preaching. People came from all over the countryside and the towns to come to the Jordan to hear him preach. And what they needed to hear was something that was not coming through in their religious experience. They needed to hear how their lives were being burdened and overwhelmed and perhaps misguided by the religious leadership of the time. And so they would go to hear John in the desert regions, and they would hear him say, "You need to repent of the sins that you know are in your heart, the sins that you know control and govern your life. Repent of those sins and be changed. And then be baptized." He preached the baptism of repentance. And they turned, and his message became increasingly more popular all the time until the Tetrarch heard it. The king heard the message. And I don't know how the interaction began. It doesn't really give us the details on that. But somehow King Herod was held accountable for his own sins. Not only the sin of marrying his brother's wife, but also the sin of abandoning his constituents. King Herod was responsible for the Jewish people in the Galilean regions, but he gave that responsibility up in order to regain or to maintain political power amongst the Roman oppressive government. He also, in his compromise for being the powerful Jewish leader and also at the same time being somehow in conjunction with the works of the Roman oppressors, he compromised his socio-political and religious position. And his people could see that. And so John was calling him to this attention, and Herodias heard it, and Salome heard it, and so there was this overwhelming sense of a king who was doing a really bad job. And he didn't like that idea. It wasn't good for his political position. And so he had John arrested. And it says in the Gospel that he had John arrested to protect him. And I wondered what John needed protection from. Perhaps it was the king. Perhaps it was the king's soldiers. Perhaps it was the king's friends. Somehow the king needed to protect John. I suspect that a lot of it was that the king didn't want John out in public places saying bad things about the king, because that would be not a good thing for the king and for John. And then Herodias, the wife of his brother and now his wife, wanted to kill John, I suppose for the same reason. But he was highlighting the fact that here was this royal couple, ill-gotten in their marriage, ill-gotten in their social and powerful position, and ill-gotten in God's plan for the Hebrew people. So John proclaimed the truth. And the king feared him. And I don't think it was the fear that John was going to kill him or the fear that something terrible was going to happen at John's hand. I think the fear was a fear of respect. Because I think deep down inside of his heart, his misguided, his misplaced, and his misunderstanding of power, deep down in that Hebrew heart, King Herod knew that what John was saying was a true statement. That John was calling him to the attention of God's prophetic word. You have made a mistake. Your mistake is great. Great is your sin. And I think that Herod, in spite of his position, somehow his heart became troubled by that. And that we are told that he actually liked to hear what John had to say. I don't think it's very much fun to go to church and have someone tell you all the time what a terrible sinner you are and that you're going to go to hell or something of that nature. That's not a good message necessarily to receive on a regular basis. But I think somehow Herod, in his need deep down inside to know who he was before God, treasured that message because he saw John to be a righteous and a holy person. And then he made an oath. He shot himself in the foot, so to speak. He made an oath in front of his whole court and in front of his wife and to his daughter in an act of some kind of lustful situation. He said, "Whoa, you are really pleasing to me. I will give you anything that you want." What a foolish thing for the man to say. He had no idea at all what was going to come. And Salome asked for the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. And now the king was forced into a terrible dilemma regarding truth. What do I do? I've said this to my wife, I've said this to my daughter, and I've said it in front of all of my courtiers. I am obligated to offer to Salome the head of John the Baptist. And so he had John assassinated. The truth is hard to come by. Today our truths are complex, aren't they? I don't think that truth in our culture is as easy as it once was. There are a variety of complex truths that are being presented to us. They are subjective, they are subject to perspectives, they are subject to particular groups, to particular kinds of understandings, to particular political, social intentions. Truth comes in a variety of different colors and shapes. There are themes and variations to truth. And often those themes and variations only make truth less clear and less possible to resolve. If you are like me, and I'm not necessarily overly attentive to political scenes, but every once in a while I sit down and try to think, what is it that I can glean from all this language that constantly comes at me? People who are proclaiming truths that this is truly what the government needs. This is truly what we need as a people. This is truly what we need in our culture to change us, to turn us around. What truths are truth? And then I'm overwhelmed. And I'll be so glad when it's all done. And some truth will have to surface on our behalf. Truth isn't easy to come by. And sometimes we do our very best to skirt it. We try to be discerning and say, okay, some truths I need to say, some truths I can come around, and some truths I will just withhold, and all things will be better. But I believe that the children of God, as people of God, need to know what it means to proclaim the truth through our actions, through our relationship with God in Jesus Christ, through our attentiveness to God's word in worship and in devotion. We need to know how our truth is not normed by socio-political trends, but by what God has to say to us in the area of compassion, in the area of love and hope and peace. Those are words that need to be proclaimed, and we need to understand how they manifest themselves in our day-to-day world. Certainly, the truth is cloudy when black churches are being burnt to the ground. Certainly, the truth is clouded when there is war, and there is rumors of war that continue to take place in our culture and in our understanding. We are overwhelmed by the uncertainties of truth as they take place. But the people of God need to be attentive to the Word of God and be truth tellers regardless of the consequences. And I think this is the golden thread between John as a prophet and King Herod as an erroneous leader. It was the truth of God in God's Word. I think down deep inside, Herod remembered his childhood synagogue teachings, if you will, his Sunday school teachings. And he knew that God's word, John was applying that word accurately. And John did not rely on his own opinion. He did not rely on his own socio-political position in society. He actually proclaimed the word of God. You are violating God's law, God's plan for the nature of the human community. So that golden thread between those two men is what we need to glean from this gospel. John lost his head, I don't think for the truth. I think he lost his head for a jealous and hateful person. But in the context of that experience, John showed to us what it means to proclaim the truth, and that it may in fact cost us something to do it. We live in relatively safe life experiences in this country, I think. We can go to Starbucks and we can talk about religion and nobody seems to turn much of a head about it. But there are Christians throughout the world, and we know about them over the last week, who lose their lives because they proclaim the truth of what it means to live in God's redeeming love. People lose their heads for the truth that they seek to hold. And that is not easy. Arriving at the truth. So what do we need? My brothers and sisters, it's very simple, I think. The filter is God's Word. We can look at the TV. We can hear 178 or 22 or however many there will be presidential candidates before the actual election takes place. We can listen to all kinds of trends, social trends and political trends about what the truth is for this culture. But the filter has to be for us the Word of God and Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if anything else comes in as the filter, then we are losing our perspective. We are fogging our understanding. God's Word must be our guide. And the fullness of the gospel must be our intention. That when it's all said and done, the truth is kindness, compassion, love, dignity for all people has prevailed. And that is the truth. Amen.